Welcome to the Ask Me Anything teleseminar. It is Monday, March 17th. I want to welcome all my fans and students from all around the world. I'm excited to have you not only on the call, but on the simultaneous webcast. I have many, many questions that you have submitted over the last few days. I'm actually kind of overwhelmed by all these questions. I will get to some of the pre-submitted questions, but more than anything, what I'd like to do is to get on the line live and talk to you live and handle your questions, challenges, situations, that sort of thing. Before I get to that part of the call, I just want to spend about 5 to 10 minutes discussing one of the reasons why I decided to do this Ask Me Anything teleseminar. One of the things I realized as I look around at this industry that's grown from imitating and twisting my work, whatever these people think they are, that they're doing, is that there really aren't any other teachers out there. And by that I mean there are guys who lecture, there are guys who present, there are guys who interview, but I don't think there's really any opportunity to directly talk to the expert, get their feedback, and get them to hold you by the hand, answer your questions, and help you through the different sticking points and the challenges you can have with your motivation, and just the overall confusion that can occur when you're dealing with a system as wonderful and as chaotic and as wonderfully chaotic as female humans. So one of the things I came to realize is, you know, it's not just that speed seduction is the best system out there, which I really do believe it is, but also I think I'm the best teacher out there. And through presenting these kind of seminars, not only by telephone, but by some exciting new technology that I'll discuss tonight on the phone, I aim to really, really prove that point, to get that point home to you, that I am a teacher who cares about you, that I am a devoted teacher. And in fact, if you define a teacher as someone who doesn't just explain things, but then has interactive contact with you, I think I really am the only teacher out there. And I'm going to be talking about, towards the end of the call, about some exciting new technologies to continue to expand my ability to reach out to you and continue to support you as you work through the material. I'm going to be radically transforming the whole model of this business to make my interactions with you the core of the business as opposed to recorded or canned products. But be that as it may, let me just take a few of these more interesting canned questions, and then I'll open up the phone lines to let everyone say hello, and then I'll start taking your questions, and I'll troubleshoot with you. I'll try to give every person I talk to about 10 minutes if I can. Originally, I had planned to do the call for about 90 minutes. I had some minor surgery today, and I'm in a little bit of discomfort, but we'll see how I feel. I should be able to do the hour and 30 minutes, the entire 90-minute call. Some of these questions are really quite interesting. I have a question here, and this is just an illustration for those of you, whether you're listening to this live webcast or whether you're listening to a recording of it. I have students from around the world. This is from Henry from Helsinki, Finland. He asks a question that I think the answer will be beneficial to everyone listening, both on the phone lines and on the webcast. He says he's from Finland, and he wants to know, does speed seduction work for Finnish girls because the language is so different than the English language? I get this kind of question quite frequently, and it betrays something of a lack of knowledge to ask the question, but I welcome the question nonetheless. I'll get the question, well, will it work on women in Poland? Will it work on women in Russia? And then I even get questions about English-speaking women, but they're from different cities. Well, that might work on those gullible California girls, but those New York bitches, it'll never work on them. So one of the understandings I want you all to have is no matter what language you do speed seduction in, whether it's English or French or German or Hebrew or Russian, I don't care. Speed seduction works not because I made it up, but because it reflects how women think anyway on the deep levels of their mind. It's not that the speed seduction patterns are created from nowhere and we're putting them into women, and when they go in, something magic happens and they come out as sort of feeling lustful or fascinated or filled with desire. Rather, what happens is the patterns reflect the way women think anyway, and it doesn't matter what culture women are in. The same structures for capturing and leading her imagination and emotions, whether it's telling stories, asking the right questions, priming the pump by telling a little bit of your own story first, those same structures still work on the deep levels of the female mind, no matter what language you're speaking. Now, there may be certain variations. You can't do the blowjob pattern, I don't think, in German, because the ambiguity of below, meaning beneath, and blow, meaning to suck, that ambiguity doesn't exist. Nonetheless, the power of speed seduction is that these fundamental rules capture and lead a woman's imagination and emotions. Whatever you can get a woman to imagine will be perceived by her as being her own thought. Think in terms of the emotional states that you want a woman to be in rather than the behaviors. First emotions, then behaviors. These fundamental rules simply do not change. It would sort of be like, okay, the rules of gravity, the same rules of gravity apply whether you're in Finland or you're in Formosa. The same rules of physics apply whether you're in Moscow or whether you're in London. In the same way, there are fundamental rules for the female emotions, or fundamental principles that apply across all cultures. So really, what language you happen to use is going to vary, as it should, but the actual rules, they're not going to change. They're going to remain the same. It's a very important concept. So let me take just a few more of these pre-submitted questions, and then I'll do what I love most. What I love most is to open up the lines, talk to you, get feedback from you, help you and assist you past your challenges, and take what you're doing well and make it work even better. This is an interesting question. And again, these questions betray sort of a lack of understanding. This is a question from Rob from Toledo, Ohio. Rob says, actions speak louder than words. What might be the top three or four nonverbal signs a prospective invitee to coffee lunch I can look for to indicate her possible interest in me? Essentially what he's saying is, what are three or four nonverbal signs a woman will give him to indicate that she's interested? And again, I want to point out before I answer this question, whenever you're faced with a big problem, the way in which you think about the problem and the questions that you ask, if someone has enough experience, they can look at those questions that you're asking and how you're thinking about the problem and show you where you're truly stuck. A good teacher answers your questions, but a great teacher looks at your questions and says, wait a minute, based on this question this person is asking, what's the deep-level change in their thinking they need to make? And let me illustrate that very clearly with Rob from Toledo, Ohio. He's asking what are the top three or four nonverbal signs he should look for to see if a woman might be interested in him. The presupposition of his question is that he can't create responses that are so obvious that a blind man can see them from a mile away. He's assuming that the signs that he's going to be able to create with the minimal interest he can create are going to be things he has to really, really search for or look for. So it tells me that this is a person who hasn't had a lot of experience getting women really hot and really turned on through the way he uses his vibe, his energy, the way he asks questions, the subjects he gets her talking about. And the amazing thing is, with speed seduction, when you really tap into these deeper level structures, the more powerful emotions that a woman is experiencing, you don't need to look for what someone else calls indicators of interest, because the fact of the matter is, she's going to have what we call doggy dinner bowl look. The look that my Dalmatian dogs, when I was a kid, when I showed them the bowl full of dog food, they would all start to slobber and they'd run around to the backyard so they can get the dish of food. So when you know how to create these responses in women, you won't need to worry about, whoa, what would indicate her possible interest? Here are some signs that she's actually interested when you use speed seduction. One of the things you'll see is that her lower lip will get really big, her face will flush, she'll get that please fuck me look. She also will make excuses to come see you. I talked in my early book in 1988, my first book, How to Get the Women You Desire into Bed, about FIM, the female interruption mechanism, and how women will sometimes interrupt themselves and make excuses for not doing things when they're not sure if they're interested in you. You've seen this happen when the women cancel at the last minute. Oh, I'm sorry, my parakeet is sick, or I've got to go wash my hair. Whatever universal excuse archive they're pulling these things from, I don't know where it exists in the ether. But in any case, when women are strongly interested in you, the same excuse mechanism gets them into your bed. They'll say things like, hey, do you mind if I go see your house where your bed is? Or, you know, can I go to your house and see where your lawn furniture is? They'll make up the lamest excuses. And then when they get to your house, I've had this happen, and I've had students say this time and again to me, and imagine if it could be true for you, where women will say, it's awfully hot in here. Do you mind if I take off these jeans? Now, it sounds like bullshit. It sounds like I'm making this up, but please, I'm not making it up. the same mechanisms in a woman's mind that she will use to defeat the seduction. If she's into you, because you've used speed seduction, she'll use to move the seduction further along. This is why I don't address too many of these logistical questions, like where do I take her, or how do I prepare my place, or what do I say to get her back to my place. Because when you get them properly heated up, properly attracted, properly filled with desire, and you get them properly invested in that, they're gonna knock down the walls to get to you. I had a student tell me that he was using speed seduction in a hotel lounge, and this girl was so into him, her girlfriend tried to drag her away, and she said to the girlfriend, "Leave me alone, I'm going home with this guy." So all this stuff about anti-slut defense and last-minute resistance, it really disappears when you do this properly. So rather than asking the question, you know, what might be the top three or four nonverbal signs that shows me a woman might be interested, the better question is, how can I create such strong, positive, powerful emotional states that a blind man could see the interest? So this person is not asking the most useful question. And again, the job of a good teacher is to answer your questions. The job of a great teacher is to see how the questions might be keeping you stuck at a level of thinking that doesn't really serve you. I'm just going to take a couple more of these, and then I'm going to do what I really love most, which is to open the lines and talk to you guys directly. So there's so many of these. Let's see. Here's a question. Joseph from Duluth wants to know, is it really possible to radically transform my personality? He says, I seem to be caught in a bad loop. I've established a deficiency paradigm for myself. I always see myself as not this or that, not having this or not having that. All my adult life I've had people telling me, don't be so hard on yourself, but I don't know why I do it or how to stop it. Any ideas? Well, it brings up a really important point. Before I get to his question, here's something I want all of you to ask yourselves, which is this. How are you going to take even the best tools to use in the field and make sure that you bring the best of who you are into using those tools? In other words, if you had a long history of not doing so well, of settling, of having limiting beliefs, limiting, restricting emotions and responses, how are you going to make sure that those don't contaminate the new tools and the new ways of thinking that you really want to have mastery? That's a really important technical question, because the ability to have intelligent motivation and informed enthusiasm, the ability to, in a balanced way, see where you might need to correct your mistakes without buying back into those mistakes, the ability to see what you've done right, and most importantly, the ability to cut through the initial confusion of dealing with women. Anytime you start new skill sets with women, you're going to have situations where you're not quite sure what happened. In fact, I would venture to say that it's not fear that gets in the way of men or anxiety. It's the confusion. It's thinking that you did things right. You had a great initial first meeting. She seemed to be into you. She eagerly gave you the phone number, and then you never hear from her again, or she cancels the date. Or you have a great first meeting. Maybe you make out a little bit, and you never hear from her again. These things get really, really confusing. You can't quite tell what you did right and what you did wrong. So the ability to have a way to sort through confusion and extract out information with maximum efficiency is a really important skill set. So Joseph brings up a really good point, which is the internal transformation that has to go along with mastering the external skills of handling women. And I think this is one of the areas where speed seduction really excels, because I've been studying NLP and hypnosis and now meditation with my teacher Shinzen I've been doing all this for 20 years, and I've worked with thousands of people. I've seen every possible stuck situation. So I can tell you that we certainly have tools to assist in transforming the personality, but I don't know that radical transformation is necessary in order to start going with a lot of good skills. Problem with many guys is they sit there in their head doing the exercises, but they never do anything in the real world. And my concern for this person is that they don't spend too much time working on their personality, whatever that means, without balancing it with going out in the world. One of the advantages of having ongoing contact with a teacher or a coach, such as myself, is that I can make sure you stay on track. I can make sure I guide you in that very important ratio, that balance between, you know, transform working on yourself and then getting out in the world and doing these skill sets so you don't get lost in that. So I think what I'm going to do now is I'm going to unmute the phones, And I'm just going to ask people to just say their name and where they're from. I'm going to mute the phones again, and then I'm going to start taking your questions. So I'm just going to unmute the phones for a minute and just shout out your name and where you're from as soon as the phones are unmuted, and then we'll get back to asking questions. So here we go. I'm unmuting the phones. Just shout out your name and where you're from.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to unmute the phones, and I'm just going to ask people to just say their name and where they're from.
I'm
going to mute the phones again, and then I'm going to start taking your questions. So I'm just going to unmute the phones for a minute and just shout out your name and where you're from as soon as the phones are unmuted, and then we'll get back to asking questions. So here we go. I'm unmuting the phones.
You're from Sweden.
Where you're from. I'm going to unmute the phones.
If you've got speakers, you can use your iPhone.
And then I'm going to start taking the questions. So I'm just going to leave the phone for a minute.
That's good.
Okay.
Just shout out.
John from Texas.
That's good.
Good. I heard someone from Sweden. Who else is from somewhere other than America? Hello? Okay, I've remuted the phones. I can see that part is not going to work. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask a favor. If you have external speakers, if you're listening on the webcast, I want to ask that you please temporarily mute your external speakers or put on headphones because the echo is making it really impossible to hear anybody. So I'm going to unmute the line, and I'm going to take questions. So if you have a question, just say your name and your question. You may have to shout over someone to be heard, and then I'll mute the lines to answer your question. So let's go for it. If you have a question, please ask away. I'm going to mute everybody now.
Rose.
Go ahead, ask.
Yeah. Yes. It's about the principle.
First of all, your name and where you're from.
Yeah. I'm Jordan, and I'm calling from Sweden. It's 2 o'clock a.m. here, but I was so excited about the talking to you that I woke up this time.
Thank you.
It's about the principle that you taught in the last teleseminar, that you've been talking about many times. When you meet someone, you take her first response, not as written as a stone. Everything that you take from her is energy to be learned from, manipulated, and be used, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, how do you handle a situation in which she simply doesn't give you any response? Her response is cold. Her response is try to avoid you. Her response is try to not to give you energy at all, so then you cannot use anything. She's nice to you. She's very diplomatic in that sense that you cannot find any failure to blame her about. It's simply that she ignores you.
That's a good question. Well, first of all, you're dealing with Swedish women, and as we know.
Exactly.
No, that's not true. My girlfriend is Swedish, and she's warm as hell. I'm going to mute the line and answer it.
Ross.
Very good.
Your girlfriend is Swedish for sure, but you met her in a different country. I mean, their interaction with the society changes a lot when they go abroad. That's something I have learned as well.
All right. Let me answer. I'll mute the line and answer your question, then we'll open it back up in case you have a follow-up, okay? It's a good question. Fundamentally, he's brought up one of my principles. And again, when I teach, I always teach understanding and principles first, and then I teach the techniques. If you understand the purpose and the principle, then the techniques become so much easier to use. One of the principles, one of the key beliefs I have in dealing with women that has gotten me so much traction and so much action is I seldom take a woman's first response to me as written in stone. It's almost always a reflection of what she's thinking, feeling, or believing in that moment, and almost always subject to change. Now, what this allows me to do is take what I call women's autopilot behavior, when they have automated responses that don't even really necessarily reflect on me, and rather than letting it stop me or throw me off, I can get inside of that autopilot response. Basically, it's called a pattern interrupt. It's classical NLP and hypnosis terms, but what it basically means is if someone's stuck in a repetitive pattern of behavior, they're expecting a certain response from you. When you don't give them that response, they're on hold. They're temporarily, momentarily on hold. And in that moment of being on hold, it creates a window of suggestibility where you can begin to work into their experience. You can do this very subtly, or you can do it very boldly so it actually shocks them. Now, Jordan's question was quite interesting. He said, what happens if the first response you get is no response? What if she's simply cold? What if she just doesn't say anything? What if she basically turns on you and walks away? I would have to say this. First of all, any response is a response. Even something that seems like non-responsiveness is still a response. People cannot not respond. They may not respond very vividly. They may not respond very warmly. They may not respond, very intensely. But even ignoring you, even being cold, is in and of itself a response of a sort. And then what you have to do is be prepared for that and use that response. So let's say I approach a woman and I say whatever I'm going to say, and she doesn't have any response at all. She doesn't laugh, she doesn't smile, she stands there, maybe she just looks. I have to say I've never, practically never had that happen, but let's assume that happens. First of all, it illustrates one of my points, that you don't really have to be afraid when you do, quote, walk-ups. Because even when the worst happens, 99% of the time when the worst does happen, nothing will happen. She simply doesn't respond. But let's say she doesn't respond. I would simply do what we call in NLP meta comment, M-E-T-A-C-O-M-M-E-N-T, which is simply to comment, observe about the situation, say, you know, doesn't seem like you're responding to me. Is there something, there's certain different ways you can meta-comment. You can do it with a sense of humor. You can say, wow, that must have caught you so off guard that you can barely speak with all the attraction that you're feeling for me right now. Something stupid like that, but don't say it seriously. Say it with a smile on your face. Or you could just say, you know, I don't know whether what I said offended you or what, but I really just wanted to meet you, and I can't tell what your response is. You want to tell me what's going on? Something, just be very honest about it. Say, you know, I noticed that you're not really giving me much of a response at all, and I certainly didn't mean to offend you. So can you tell me what's going on? I just wanted to meet you, and I couldn't think of anything else to say. That's a really good one. You can say, you know, I noticed that you really aren't giving me much of a response. I hope I didn't offend you, but I wanted to meet you, and I didn't know what else to say. Now, that's a very, very low-key, very non-threatening, and very truthful statement. She can't argue with the truth of it. You're saying, I noticed that you didn't seem to respond very strongly to what I said. That's true. I hope I didn't offend you. That's true. But I just wanted to meet you and didn't know what else to say. So let's try again. My name is Jordan, or my name is Ross. That's what I would suggest you do. You can try to diffuse it with humor. You can simply say, hey, I noticed you haven't responded to me very strongly. I hope I didn't offend you. I just wanted to meet you, and I didn't know what else to say. My name is. Now, if she doesn't respond to that, I think what you've got there is a favor. She's done you a favor. She's demonstrated to you that she's really not the kind of person you want to be talking to any further. Remember, half of the skill set is screening and selecting and having standards. One of my basic standards is if I approach someone sincerely without being a pig about it, and they're cold or even outright rude, then they've told me that they're just too insecure for me to deal with. So that's what I would say. Now, I'm going to unmute the line so that Jordan can ask a follow-up question if he'd like. So let me unmute it. It'll take like 10 seconds.
Thank you, Ross. What's an excellent response. But that thing happened to me so many times.
Say again, Jordan.
So thanks a lot for the response. I think it was really clear, really smart. It makes a lot of sense. However, I must tell you that has happened to me many times. So I assume that there are many.
Now is this pardon? A function? Now, you're meeting women in Sweden, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, are you doing it on the street, or are you doing it in more of a social setting? Because my understanding is Swedish people just don't talk to strangers in the street, but in a social setting, they're a lot more friendly.
Yeah, of course. But they are very diplomatic to the point in which, for example, I can describe them as people in which they put a shell. I mean, they can talk about really irrelevant stuff just to be diplomatic, really friendly.
Well, then think about this, Jordan. Yeah. If that's what women are used to, if they're used to, like, people talking about surface-level stuff, Once you do break through that and you can get them to bring up much more powerful emotions, then you're going to stand
yes.
out really, really strongly as being much more attractive than the other guys around you. So what I would suggest is, first of all, when you're building, this is a good rule for anybody, when you're building a new set of skills, don't start with the hardest thing first. If you're learning to walk a tightrope, you don't get 500 feet off the ground on something the size of a thread and walk on it. You start 5 feet off the ground walking on a wooden plank. So I would not suggest, if you're starting your skill sets, that you go running into, if you're an American, running into clubs or bars, or if you're Swedish, go try to pick up strange Swedish girls on the street, because it's the hardest possible situation. So that's a situation where there may be some cultural differences where you can find a bit easier setting to work, if that makes sense. But I would again say any response, even seemingly no response, is a response. And the best way is to identify it, express what your intention was, and start all over again. Give them a second chance. There's another principle I want to lay out for you guys listening. This is very powerful. Here's the principle. The principle is that if you can try something new, if you can step outside of your comfort zone, do something that feels uncomfortable for you and do it anyway, even though you're not sure you're going to do it well. If you can step outside of your comfort zone and be willing to go through some uncertainty and at the same time grant the other person radical permission to have whatever first response they're going to have to you, meaning that you don't expect the woman, just because you're being courageous and fighting your fear and being brave, you don't have any expectation that she's going to have to be nice to you or support you in it, because she doesn't owe you anything. If you can grant her that radical permission and be willing to accept the uncertainty, that the power of that is so subtly attractive on a very nonverbal level that even if you don't have a lot of good social skill, you're still attractive by virtue of your willingness to risk and your willingness to give the other person complete permission not to support you. Because so many guys think, well, I had the courage to talk to her. That dirty bitch didn't support, you know, was mean to me. Fuck her. No. There's nothing in a woman's contract when she's born that she signs that says she has to support your desire to get good at pickup. It doesn't work like that, guys. All right, let me take another question from someone. Say your name, where you're from, and please go ahead and ask your question.
Hello?
Go ahead, your name, where you're from, and your question, please.
Yeah, right. So my name is Sunny from New Jersey. First of all, I
welcome,
just wanted to thank
Sunny,
you
from New Jersey.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you for the call. And my
it's my
question
pleasure.
Is,
let me before you go further, I yeah. love teaching. This is what I love. It's one thing to create products that I sell once I've recorded them, but to have this kind of interaction with the students, it's what I love most and what I do best. So it's my pleasure. What is your question, sir?
Right. My question is basically about your business. As you know, that there are a lot of guys who are teaching live workshops or boot camps, as they call it.
Right.
I just wanted to know if you are thinking on that lines, you know, meeting us live and doing a workshop, because I personally believe that your method is the best, and you know, I'm sure there
well,
would
do,
be a lot of people who would. Yeah.
Well, I do seminars like 3 or 4 times a year. Is that what you mean?
I mean, seminars plus going out in the field. And
let me answer that. Let me answer that question. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. Let me tell you why I don't do it. First of all, I believe in quality of instruction. I believe that I don't just do this for the money. I want to make sure I offer quality instruction. If I take guys out in the field, the most I can handle and give really good quality, powerful teaching to, not just lecturing or demonstrating, but actually teaching, observing on a deep level, where is that person stuck? Where is that person getting it? What do I need to reach in that person's belief structure, their energy, their vibe, and adjust? How do I need to adjust their expectation and what they're paying attention to? These things, actual teaching, as opposed to just letting people watch you pick up girls or pushing them into picking up girls, but actual deep-level teaching where you're looking at the deepest levels of how people are perceiving, how they're interrupting themselves, what they're ignoring, what they're paying attention to, these are minute and very fine adjustments. And really, I would only want to do it one-on-one, maybe 2 students per night. And it's just not economically feasible. Anyone who's taking out more than 2 students at a time is not giving you quality instruction. And by the way, I'm going to make a bold claim. The bold claim I'm going to make is I don't think there are any other teachers out there. There are guys who can demonstrate. You can go out in the field and they'll demonstrate to you how they pick up women. And they may even push you into doing it and giving you some feedback. That's not teaching, because teaching requires that you be able to observe where the other person is stuck, when an old pattern of fixed response and thinking is manifesting, even if it's not showing in the behavior. Can you pick up on it in their thinking? Where are people stuck in terms of the ratio of what they're ignoring and what they're paying attention to? These are deep, subtle distinctions that take good technology and years of training and experience. And I've been doing this 20 years. I've dealt with thousands and thousands of guys. No one else has that experience. So I don't think anyone is really teaching boot camps. They're leading boot camps. They're demonstrating at boot camps, but they're not really teaching. So in regard to your question of why I don't teach boot camps, in regard to going out in the field, because I would only be able to take one student at a time if I really wanted to do the quality. The other question becomes, well, why don't you train people to do it? Because I haven't met anyone I really can ultimately trust to teach my students, because they're just not up to that level of skill as teachers. There is someone who I thought could do that up until last year, but then he got into drugs, stole money from me in the business, was smoking cocaine and smoking all sorts of things, and that I'm not going to permit that. So basically, I've decided this is it. I am speed seduction. I am the teacher, and it's me or nobody. But the good news that I have for you is I'm going to be instituting a lot more ways to have interactive contact with you guys. Maybe not out in the field, but there's some exciting new coaching programs that I'm working on. We're just going to be testing the technology the next week to 10 days, and then we'll start rolling out a pretty remarkable coaching program. So I hope that answers your questions. I'm going to unmute the line for you to ask a follow-up question. And if you don't have one, we'll take the next question. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. I don't have
any
other
questions.
Does that answer your question? Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you, though, why I don't take people out in groups? Because I don't believe...
Yeah, it does. It makes sense, no?
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Somebody.
Tom from Texas.
John from Texas?
Hey, Ross. I got a question. I'm relatively new to this, and
How did you hear about it?
I heard about it through, I started watching Mystery Method and all that stuff, and I didn't enjoy it, but after reading The Game, I heard about you, and I started reading on you, and it just made a lot more sense.
Good. Thank you. I try to appeal to the more. You know, I thought about this. Before you ask your question, let me say, I was talking to someone, they said, French television was out, believe it or not, doing an interview with me, and they said, well, aren't your students mostly losers? And I said, no, actually, most of my students, my best students, are in their 30s and 40s and 50s. They've been married before, they've had a girlfriend or two, they're very successful in their careers, they're smart guys, and they think, wait a minute, I'm a smart man, a really smart man, I've done well in my career. I've done well in my career. Why have I not been able to figure out women? Why can't I have the same success with all the discipline and intelligence I brought to my career? Why isn't that working with women? There's got to be a smart person who's been there and can show me the way. So you and people like you, my friend, are exactly the kind of customers I'm looking for. So all right, let me unmute it again and take your question, John.
Yeah, well, it just made more sense after I started listening to what you had to say versus their, be cocky, funny.
Yeah.
It was stupid. But, hey, now, how do I go and transition, like one girl I know, to listening to me talk in patterns and in suggestive mannerisms to where I don't come off sounding even weirder than she thought I might have been before when I was AFCing her in the past?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Here's my answer to your question, then I'll unmute it to take a follow-up if you have it. First and foremost, don't assume that because it sounds weird to you, it'll sound weird to women. This is a common assumption that men make. They think because the pattern language sounds strange to them that women won't like it. I can guarantee you that even if this girl has not heard pattern language come out of your mouth, she's heard it in other places. She reads it in romance novels. She sees it in movies from people who read my work and now are putting it into TV and movie scripts. And more importantly, when she fantasizes to herself, she speaks to herself in pattern language. So even though pattern language may not be familiar to her in terms of being exposed to a speed seducer, it's familiar to her because it's how she thinks to herself on the inside, and there's also examples in some aspects of popular culture. That's the first thing. So I would suggest also that you just try little increments. Don't throw a whole big pattern at her. Just try a little piece of a pattern. The second answer I would give you is to redefine what you mean by pattern. This is a very important mistake newbies make. And for those who would know exposure to speed seduction, this will be an important little piece to listen to. Some aspects of speed seduction, sometimes patterns do mean a memorized speech, like the Discovery Channel pattern, the blowjob pattern, my favorite, that sort of thing. And basically, they're four, five, six sentences of language that's structured that when women listen to them, women get suggestions, they get emotionally excited, they feel lust, desire, etc. But there are other kind of patterns, and a pattern basically is any kind of statement or question or utterance that moves a woman's imagination and emotions in the directions that you want it to go. So a pattern could be a question. So let me suggest that you start out, instead of doing a canned memorized pattern, that you start out with some seduction questions. On my members only Yahoo group, I did a post about a year and a half ago called Six Seduction Questions. Not sick, S-I-C-K, but six, S-I-X. So let me give you some really good questions, which if you ask women, will tend to get them talking in the direction that will open up the deeper, more aroused and arousable parts of her mind, okay? One question is this, is when you really want to cut loose, when you want to escape and indulge yourself, what's something you really love to do, and what's something that you'd love to try but you just haven't gotten around to? Now, in order to answer that question, what part of her mind is she going to go into? The rational, logical, left-brain part? Data, facts, figures, numbers, papers? No. She's got to go into her imagination and begin to describe the kind of experience where she indulges herself. Now, bear in mind, talking about indulgence doesn't necessarily mean talking about sex, but let me give you a metaphor. Let's say you have an apartment building, and you have a two-bedroom apartment. One of the bedrooms is the bedroom where she keeps her thoughts about indulgence, and the other bedroom, which shares a common wall, which is right next to it, is the bedroom where she thinks about sexual indulgence. I can tell you that if the rooms don't have a big open door between them, the wall is awful thin. And if you make enough noise in one, it'll wake up the person in the other room, to use a metaphor. Let me unmute the line and ask you if that makes any sense, and if you'd like to follow up with some more questions.
No, that makes perfect sense, and that actually answered my question perfectly. Thanks, Ross.
Thank you. I want to point something out. You will not get this kind of access to any of the other people out there. You can't ask questions of the double your masturbating guy or the misery guy. You can't. And even though they may actually have monthly coaching programs, but they don't coach. All they do is let you listen to an interview where they interview a different expert every month. You will never hear me interview it. Yeah, well, you will never hear me interview another expert, because I'm the only fucking expert that I respect. Thank you very much.
You go, boss.
All right, that's how I feel. Let's take the next question. Your name, where you're from, and your question.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Tom from Arkansas.
Tom from Arkansas. How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good.
Has speed seduction helped you in your life?
Yeah, it has pretty well. Mostly I'm benefiting from Neil, you're in a game right now.
Thank you. It's radically changed who I am. Thank you. Yeah, you were at, for those of you who don't know, Tom was at my LA seminar. Tom, if you could give a very, very 1 minute description of what your life was like before speed seduction and what it's like now, very quickly, like a minute.
Before speed seduction, I was an extreme introvert. I married the first woman that would have me. She took everything I had, left me with a daughter, by myself and alone and broke, and post speed seduction, I picked up a stripper at a strip club later. That's probably my big moment. Lately I've been doing millionaire
games. What do you weigh?
I weigh like 425. 425
pounds. And this stripper, what did you pay to get her into bed?
Well, I tipped her like $3 or $4, but that wasn't to get her into bed. That was just to be polite.
And just if you could, for the next just 30 more seconds, what other successes have you had with women using speed seduction?
Well, lately I've been doing millionaire game. I've gone from being an extreme introvert. Literally on the Myers-Briggs test I show as an extreme introvert, or I did when I took it about a month and a half ago, to a mild extrovert, and anxiety is gone.
You can't change those things.
No.
But in terms of the number of women you've been with more women than the stripper.
Oh, right? Let's see. How many? There's a couple of prostitutes before I got married, and there was my wife.
No
and
prostitutes.
And after her.
Prostitutes and your wife don't count. So, I mean, you
okay,
see,
so after that, 12 or so, 13.
Not that.
Including that hot Dutch babe that I was engaged to for like 3 years. So.
For a guy who's 425 pounds and how old are you?
I'm 37 now.
Very good. Okay, so ask your question, Tom.
Well, the big thing is I've gotten really good at making eye contact and trying to talk to people, but I'm on campus and the only women I'm meeting are this 18, 19, 20-year-olds.
Right.
Sometimes I can get a conversation going. If I can get a conversation going, I can do some speed seduction. But I have trouble getting a conversation going that's sustainable. I mean, I can talk for like 15, 30 seconds, you know, hi, how are you, blah, blah, blah.
This is very important. Is it that the conversation isn't sustainable because they're in a hurry and they're going in the opposite direction when you first stop them? So is it a matter of contextually the conversation can't go any further because everyone is in a hurry? Or is it because the conversation
Sometimes
out and they just don't respond, or both? Which?
Sometimes, I mean, you're in a hurry. I mean, you're on campus, you're going to class.
Right, right, right.
And sometimes I'll just say something like, you know, just something, some observation. Like, I saw one girl one day, she was wearing, like, a pink jacket and a pink shirt and pink pants, and I said, excuse me, I have an intuition about you. You like pink, you know. And, of course, that didn't go anywhere because she was going the other way. But other times, you know, they're just kind of standing there, and I'm standing there, and I'll try to talk to them, and I can't get anything going. And it's really slowing me down.
Hold on, slow down. Again, this is the skill of a teacher. One of the things a teacher does is to clarify. So we'll make very sure what we're talking about. When you say you can't seem to get anything going, does that mean nothing comes out of your mouth or something does come out of your mouth but you don't get any response? I'm trying to determine which one it is.
Something comes out of my mouth. I'll usually try 3-4 things, and then if they still won't, I'll just kind of quit. Or if they look like they feel uncomfortable, I'll back off. But
okay.
It's I don't know. Usually it'll be like, you know, hi, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Well, are you, going
to
class?
I would start with something, how are you doing? Let me give you some good principles, okay? And this applies to anyone who wants to learn. And one of the things, I'm preparing a free report right now, 10 fatal mistakes men make with women. And one of the fatal mistakes is not having a way to meet a constant stream of new and different women so you can always take your pick. But let me say, one of the things I would suggest is, first and foremost, rather than approaching women, see if you can't stand side by side with them. There's something about standing side by side as soon as I can. If the geography forces me, if the angles and the geometry force me to approach head on, as soon as I can, within a second, I'll stand side to side with them. It just does something. So see if you can't. You know, one of the things about campuses, college campuses, is there's always lines. I don't mean pickup lines. I mean queues. People are in line for things. See if you can't stand in line next to someone. Do you understand?
No, I have this all the time.
Okay, very important. But the second thing is, I would suggest you do what I talked about in a recent newsletter about pre-openers, which is, I don't care what the initial opener is. It could be like nice shoes or nice day, isn't it? Something innocuous, non-threatening, and then go for something outrageous. So it would go like this. You'd go, nice shoes. And whatever she says, you say, are you Jamaican? And then whatever she says, you say, because Jamaican be crazy. And then you say, okay, that's the second stupidest thing I've ever said to meet someone I might really like. Now, let me explain to you why this works. The bottom line, you can take the dumbest pickup line, which would never work if you started out with it first. So if you just walked up to a girl and said, excuse me, are you Jamaican? And you said, because Jamaican be crazy. She'd probably wince. She might laugh, but it's not going to be as effective. For some reason that I haven't quite figured out, if you start out with something innocent, dull, boring, whatever it is, and then go to the outrageous line is almost always accepted. I could get into the theories here. I have a couple of theories. I think it has to do with springing something so unexpected. I'm not sure exactly what. I just know it works. So I would, you know, say any innocuous. By innocuous, I mean it's innocent. It's very straight on the level. There's nothing particularly funny or interesting. What time is it? Or nice shoes. And then you hit them with the stupid line, like, are you Jamaican? Because you're making me crazy. Or, are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see. These are stupid lines. They would never work if you just use them up front. By the way, this is one of the things you have to look for. When you look for advice on this, watch out, because people will give you half-truths. They'll tell you these lines, but they don't tell you they don't work is the first thing you say. Once they laugh, you say, I'm glad you laughed because I noticed you here and I really wanted to meet you. Or you could say, I'm glad you laughed because, or you could say, you know, when they laugh, you could say, okay, that's got to be the second stupidest thing I've ever said to meet someone I might really like. Now, notice the presupposition. What's the presupposition when you say, that's got to be the second stupidest thing I've ever said to meet someone I might really like? What's the presupposition?
That you might like them.
What's the first?
The presupposition is you might like them. In other words, you're the one who's screening them. See, so that's what I would recommend. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah.
But the other thing I would say for you, because I know you, I've met you, is I want you to really be thinking of the kind of energy, the kind of vibe, the kind of personality of a young lady would have to get with you and to be the kind of person you would enjoy. What are the qualities of personality, the characteristics? I can tell you, she probably would have to be unconventional. She probably would not have to care what her friends think. She would have to be primarily attracted by vibe and attitude. She'd already have to be highly sexual. She would have to have some kind of perception that she knows about her body, but there's something that an older guy could teach her. I would think in terms of that. Does that answer your question, Tom?
Mostly.
Well, ask me a follow-up. I'm here to help.
Basically, I was just wondering, I'll try the pre-openers. I've been just practicing pre-openers. I guess I was just more asking, it's like, how can I learn to just have a conversation with strangers? I'm not super good at that.
I think it's not about learning to have the conversation. It's about, a good teacher points out the right question. The right question is not about how do I learn to have a good conversation. The question is, how can I learn to get curious about other people and discover what makes them tick? You understand? It's not about knowing what to say. It's about knowing the various different things about people that can make you curious. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a different way of looking at the challenge. The way you're defining it, it's about a performance that you do. So I want to redirect your question and say, no, it's not about a performance that you do. It's about how you can get curious about the other person. What are the various levels of the other person's experience or response that you can learn to notice? Do you understand? And again, the difference between a lecturer and a presenter and an interviewer and a teacher is the teacher forces the student to ask a better question or directs the student to ask a better question. So time and again, when you listen to these coaching calls, when you're on these things with me, you'll hear me seldom answer the question the student asks, because usually the question they're asking just reveals how they're stuck in their thinking. But if you can change the question, then it liberates the student and begins the process of shaking them free. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yeah. I was just realizing when you're saying that, some of the actual conversations I've had were because I was genuinely curious about something.
How can you get curious about other people? What levels of their experience and response can you learn to notice and get curious about? How can you enjoy other people? How can you get genuine enjoyment out of the interaction with them? I would really look to asking yourself those kind of questions. They're much more useful than the question you were asking yourself.
Okay.
All right,
well, thank you.
Next one.
Damien from
Good
Toronto.
Talking to you. Say again?
Damien from Toronto.
Damien from Toronto?
Hello? Yes, sir. How are you doing?
How did you hear about speed seduction? Welcome to the coaching call. Are you enjoying it so far?
Yes, sir. I'm 22 years old. I've been listening to your stuff for a while. I've been into NLP for like a while, and then afterwards I heard about you, and I was just like, wow.
Can I ask you how you first heard about me? I'm always curious to hear how people from all walks of life find their way to me. I'm just curious how you did.
I think I came across it somewhere on the internet. It was probably that one like PUA. I think it was Fast Seduction.
Okay, you don't need to bench. You don't need to. That's good enough. What's your question?
Sorry. But the reason why I wanted to call it is because. Is because I want to know, is there a number I can reach you at, just like to get a private session?
Well, I really don't do private sessions anymore because I just don't have time to do it. However, there's a new technology I'm going to be revealing sometime next week that will allow me to do the next best thing. But I can try and answer your question now. You have me now. Maybe I can answer your question now.
Yeah, most of your technology is going over my head. I have a hard time grasping your technology. I find that it's very delicate in the sense that it's very useful, but it's just very difficult to just memorize all this stuff and afterwards be able to use it. It's like I have to be
very difficult to what?
It's very difficult to grasp it.
All right, well let's start. You have me right now. Listen, you're talking to the greatest teacher of seduction and persuasion in the world right now. You've got me for the next 10 minutes. If you want me, what is the what would you ask a question? What's the first place where you think you need a better understanding, and I'll help you. Hell, you're getting this for free. People would pay thousands of dollars to get 10 minutes of my time. You've got it right now, one on one. So take advantage of it. What? How can I help you?
How do I nail my inner game?
Again?
I don't know. How do I nail my inner game?
Well,
I don't know what to ask. Really, just a lot of pressure.
Well, I'm not sure. What would you like to have a better understanding about with regard to speech seduction? Do you understand the basic principles? First principle being that you want to capture and lead a woman's imagination and emotion. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
And do you understand there are certain emotional states where it's more likely that a woman will give you the kind of behaviors that you want? Do you understand what I mean by behaviors? Sex, blowjobs, whatever you want from her. Do you understand it's more useful to think in terms of those emotional states? Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I mean by emotional states? I mean she's feeling lust, desire, arousal, fascination. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand how language can help create or bring those emotional states to the surface? That the way you talk to a woman and the way you get her talking can cause those feelings to awaken. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
It does.
Is it because of tonality or?
Well, that's one of the tools, but the real reason is because language is part of how we create our emotions. Emotions, feelings in the body are almost always tied to thoughts in the mind. They seldom occur separated from one another. Does that make sense? So if a woman is feeling lust for you, she's probably going to be imagining in her mind you fucking her or going down on her. She's going to be hearing sounds in her mind, the sounds she'd be making. She's going to be feeling warm feelings flowing up her crotch. Do you understand? What most people think of as terms of things, I think in terms of processes that are ongoing and tangling with each other to produce these states called lust, fascination. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
All right, so what don't... seems like your understanding is pretty fucking good. So where's your misunderstanding?
Well, it's just there's so much coming at me that it's just like... Because I have the Unstoppable Confidence tapes and I have the home study course. But for some reason,
right,
it's hard to grasp it. I don't know what it is. It's just maybe
it's the wrong system. You're not supposed to grasp it. You're supposed to perceive it. So stop trying to put your hands on it. You understand?
Okay.
Maybe the way in which you're processing. But also, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stuff. It's not necessarily... I think it's simple because the principles really break down into some very simple understandings, but it's not necessarily easy in the sense that there's a lot there and it requires a lot of work. You're not just going to jump into mastery. One of the things I would suggest you do is take it in much smaller pieces. Take it in much smaller pieces and join my monthly coaching club. I'm going to be creating a monthly coaching program where you're going to be able to get a... What's that?
It's not necessarily
Hello? Hello?
No, no, no. You said it's excellent about the monthly coaching program.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a monthly coaching program where you're going to be able to get a 90-minute call, and every other month you'll be able to watch a live 4-hour video broadcast with me teaching you live over the internet, high-quality video.
Holy shit.
Where you can ask me questions through chat, pre-submit questions. I may, from time to time, have women who I'm demonstrating on. So we're going to offer stuff that is going to blow everyone else out of the water.
That's
we'll
awesome.
We'll be announcing that shortly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Ross, a quick question about that.
Let me make sure, Jordan, before you do, hold on. Let me make sure I've finished with this last element. Are you? Give you a bit of a start.
By the way, I added you to my Facebook a long time ago.
Good. I have like 900 friends on Facebook.
Really? Whoa.
Yep.
All right. Weird. There's like so many people saying that Ross Jeffries is like.
I'm Ross Jeffries. Yeah. I'm the real one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Jordan, before you ask, I want to make sure I want to get let someone else get a chance to ask a question. Go ahead.
I understand, but, you know, I'm in the other side of the world and getting grabbed.
All right, okay. All right.
Yag-Har I want to get as much as I can.
Yag-Har Vil Din Sita, I understand. All right. You're from the land of long stocking, so I'll ask you, I'll let you ask another question.
Okay, it's about the fascinating Nail Your Inner Game program, right?
Yes, yes.
Which I've been practicing for some months so far.
Hey, son.
And, here it comes. It's about the different parts, and as you read in Facebook, I sort of try to analyze the different stages and try to see the genius of it. It's about now the... how you jump or how you know that you're ready from one stage to another. Let's take the first stage, so this is the meditation, something powerful and so profound, using different areas of life. What happens is that when I do meditation, when I do these breathing exercises to try to find this place of inner peace in the mind, the thing is that sometimes I just fall asleep. And sometimes I don't know if I've done enough to move into
Jordan,
the
Hey son,
yes.
Hey son, hey
yes.
son. The simple answer to that is sit upright. Don't sit in a chair. Sit upright. So if you start to fall asleep, you'll lurch forward and wake up.
Yeah.
That's the simple.
And then I don't know if, for example, I've done enough meditation, so then I can move into the next stage, in which I can start to ruminate into the experiences or whatever I want to actually reveal from. And the other thing that happened to me is that, I mean, I have so powerful imagination and it's difficult to focus or like, because, I mean, as soon as I start to put images or like try to reveal some experience that happened, then suddenly I see that my mind starts playing tricks with myself.
I see
things that are even not consistent. That's annoying sometimes.
Okay, I muted you, Jordan, because you're going on here. But let me ask you a question. One of the things I do in the Nail Your Inner Game program, which is what he's talking about for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, is I give you focusing exercises. It's one of the points of doing the early meditation exercises is to learn to control the direction of your focus. I guarantee you, your mind will not be quiet. Your mind will wander. Mine still does all the time. I've been meditating for God knows how long. Your mind is going to wander. I promise you, that will happen. So the question is, not can I keep my mind quiet, but how can I bring my mind back to where I want it to be? So that's the answer to that. That's how I would answer that question. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, let me take a
Please
question from somebody else. All right?
Yeah.
Shalahap, shalahay, shalahap, san, sa. A little Swedish. Let me have a question for somebody else. Anybody else?
Yeah, hi. My name's Rick. I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin! Annie. I lost my virginity to a girl from Brown Deer, Wisconsin.
That's surprising. The question I was, want to ask you is, one of your former students had come out with a book or some material on how to make a woman more more likely to have an orgasm or have a stronger orgasm. And what I was wondering is that when you're using the material in SS and then the demonstrations and that type of languaging,
yeah,
prior to you having sex with her, does that basically make it more likely or that you'll have a much stronger orgasm? Because
I have, that's an excellent question. I have found, yes, when you use part of the speed seduction technologies, we have what's known as sexual accelerators, and one of these is synesthesia, getting women to see the color of a feeling. And I have found when I do that, women's sexual response is much stronger than when I don't. So, yes. But also, that's true, and yes, it's a good question. The answer is yes, it does. But the second thing you can do also is to learn to touch women in a way that really opens up their sexual response. In my, if you go to the website, speedseduction.biz, you'll see the Advanced Irresistible Arousal DVD, and I teach some of those touches. Also, if you go to the website and click on Video Proof, you'll see some free video clips of me doing that. So I would say yes, when you learn to do, use things like synesthesia, and also when you do the arousable touch, irresistible arousal touches, that will tend to definitely get a stronger sexual response. The other thing, finally, is I would just say spend a lot of time learning to love making out. I love making out. I'll make out with a woman 2-3 hours the first time I'm with her, to the point where, I'm not kidding, they will say, I want you inside me. When am I going to feel you inside me? I want you to fuck me. If you're doing this stuff right, they will ask. So that's what I would say. Learn to discover your own sensuality. And there's another point. As far as a former student writing a book, there's a whole industry been created by my former students. You know, but it's like gold. Every time you mix gold with a little bit of some other element, it gets diluted and diluted and diluted. So pretty much what's out there now is tin, and I'm the only gold. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, what I was getting at, though, is, I mean, what the student was saying is that you have to appeal to a woman's mind prior to her. If you just physically touch her, it may not be enough, although there's like the
whole... that's what you're doing with speed seduction. You're appealing and channeling and opening up the deepest levels of her mind. I'm all for it. I mean, he got the principle from me. He learned something. Yes, does that answer you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, next question. State your name, where you're from, and your question, please.
This is Josiah from South Carolina. I got a quick question.
Sure.
How do you structure opportunities and offer challenges?
All right, well, the first thing is to understand what I mean by structuring opportunity and offering challenges, and to understand what you don't want to do. The reason I tell people to structure challenges and offer opportunities, or whichever way you want to put it, is I don't want them doing the traditional dating stuff. The traditional dating mindset is things like, well, where do I ask her out? Or where do I take her? How much do I spend on dinner? Or when do I make my move? Or I wonder if she likes me, or will I get some tonight? I'm trying to discourage and take attention off those ways of thinking because they don't really work for you. So by offering challenges, I mean something like offering her a quiz, like my twin brother's quiz or the snack quiz, that requires that she participate and demonstrate that she's someone who's smart enough to answer your questions. Structuring opportunities. Rather than saying, I'd like to take you out sometime, I'll say something, once I've got her interested and we're talking and she's into me, I'll say, you know, it's too bad we can't find a way to talk somewhere without all these pressures and interruptions. But if we could, what steps do you think we could take to do that? So I'm not saying, will you go home with me? I'm saying, you know, it's too bad we can't find a way to spend more time together, but if we could, you know, how do you think we can do that? Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm first and foremost telling you to do is to avoid traditional dating stuff. Anytime you ask a woman on a date, say, you know, I'd like to take you out, what's going to happen is all her traditional dating thoughts, all her checklist of who she normally would sleep with, it's all going to pop up and get in the way of you and her having a good time. So it's just as much about teaching you what to ignore and what not to pay attention to. A really good teacher doesn't just show you what to do, they teach you what to ignore, what not to pay attention to. They give you a don't do anymore list, so you know what to avoid. Very important. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
How did you hear about my work?
I got the basic home study course a long time ago.
Very good. Well, it's good to have you back.
Thanks.
Next question.
I have a quick one.
Your name.
This is Tom again. It's just a real quick one about that. When you ask a waitress or something you've been talking to, you know, how can we get together, blah, 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 and they say, oh, you can usually find me here, what do you say then?
Well, that that means you haven't calibrated to the point where she's strongly interested enough that she wants to be with you. So that's almost certainly the case.
Okay.
Guys, I'm going to cut this a little bit short. I had some minor surgery today, which I'm still recovering from, so I'm not up to my full energy level, but we'll go another 10 minutes. I'll take questions for another 5 minutes, and then I'll spend 5 minutes wrapping up the call. So if you have a question, let's get it in the next 5 minutes. By the way, you guys enjoying this call? Do you like it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Very good. All right, very good. So I have time for a couple more questions, and let's go for it.
Hi, Chuck in Cincinnati.
Hey, Chuck, how did you first hear about my work?
Oh, it was a few years ago. I was browsed through the internet and got some seduction stuff information and came across your material.
Good. Well, I hope it's been useful to you. Are you enjoying the call tonight?
Yes, I am. I guess my question is regarding like some of the older material that you had. Like for instance, I haven't heard you talk more anything about like angering as much as you used to from your older material, and I just kind of want to see if you still get into that more, or do you find that the newer material you kind of just got yourself away from doing like zip angers and things like that.
I don't do zip anger. First of all, everything in the old material. I've been teaching home study. You know, I did my first book in 1988, and then my home study course first came out in 93.
Yes.
Everything I've taught up to now still works. But in my evolution as a man and as a teacher, I've seen that some things work a lot better to the point where I don't have to do the other stuff if I don't want to. Just for kicks, I was out with my girlfriend. We were in Hawaii. And just for kicks, I wanted to see if the old stuff from the first home study course, like the Blammo and all that stuff, and Discovery Channel would still work. So I did it on her, and she was clearly getting all sexually aroused. I went, okay. I said to her, now, if you didn't know me, we weren't already sleeping together. Would that have worked on you? She said, yes, absolutely. So the old stuff still works. But let me tell you why I don't teach too much anchoring or lean on it anymore.
Okay.
For those of you who are listening and aren't familiar with the term, anchoring is simply a way of getting a response and then setting like a button or a trigger, so whenever you want the response again, you fire the button or the trigger. What I've found is that when you come at women or come to women with the right set of vibes, the four different attraction and seduction energies, when you know how to use your language powerfully, when you know how to fractionate women, their responses are so strong that simply looking at you sets the anchor. Simply having their eyes open and looking at you sets the anchor. You understand? Because the responses are so strong, and they're so strongly rooted, not just in what you're saying, but in who you are presenting, the different vibe and the different energies. There are four of them, and I'm way too exhausted to go into them tonight. I'm running on like virtually no sleep, and the surgeries, the stitches are really starting to hurt. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
but,
I do.
But interestingly enough, just for fun, I think it would be fun just to experiment doing the old stuff from 1993 only, no new technology, just to see how it would work. And I know it does work.
Yeah, exactly.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, yeah.
Thank you. One more question, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Ross, when are you going to Sweden?
I will come to Sweden when it's time to visit. I'll go to Stockholm to see my girlfriend probably when I go to London at the end of May.
Yes,
let me take a real question. Thank you, Jordan.
Hey, Ross.
Yes.
I just finished the hyper-response.
Who's this?
This is Courtney in San Antonio.
And how did you hear about my material, Courtney?
Google a long time ago, all the products. Home study started with the old book, and
are you enjoying the call tonight?
Yes, it's putting me in a great state just being in this call. I appreciate the time. So sorry to hear that
you. You know what? I love teaching. It's my favorite thing to do with my clothes on. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, really, what I'm starting to try and do is take some of my day one, day two meets and set them up at very close to hotels, almost in a hotel restaurant. And this is basically just the logistical thing that I'm trying to take care of. I was wondering.
I think it's a good idea.
And I think I can play with the kind of rapport and tension that it could put out there, just kind of direct it back at them. Say, you know, it's a shame we can't just look past all that and get together there and have a good time. Is there any kind of languaging that you could comes to your mind that might be useful?
Well, I'm not sure. Languaging to get them to agree to meet you anywhere, to get them to greet you, meet at the hotel.
The hotel, yeah.
First thing I would suggest, let's back up. Calibrate to the woman. If she's ready to go home with you right then and there, you don't need a day two.
Yes.
So I wouldn't assume that you're always going to need a day two. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You want to make watch out for these fixed perceptions that may not be true.
So
this, is the issue what language will get you a day two, or what gets you a day two meeting at a hotel lobby?
The hotel lobby, yeah. This is the
I wouldn't make an issue of it. I would say, you know, I would say whatever it is you say to get them to hang out with you again, you know, whatever it is you say, like, you know, I think we should hang out again. Why don't we meet tomorrow at 3? Whoever's doing their dishes, knock it. I'm going to mute the line. All right. I think what you need to do is don't make an issue that you're meeting them in a hotel lobby. And I would simply say, you know what? I think it'd be really cool if we hung out again. I've got some time Saturday around 3. Does that work for you? And what you can do is either pick them up or go, you know, I'll tell you what, there's a really nice coffee shop right here. I'll just give you the address. And you don't have to tell them it's a hotel. Just give them the address. That's one possibility.
So extract them to the hotel from the location.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, because if I'm giving them ammunition if I tell them that it's going to be a hotel. I mean,
well, I don't understand why if she wants to go back to her place and fuck you crazy, why would you insist on a hotel? See, this is what I call an idea fixe, a fixed way of thinking that usually, again, my job as a teacher is to notice those things and point them right back out to the student. Why? What's the idea strategically behind a hotel lobby being so important?
Just it's going to be something during a lunchtime, like a nooner type thing. So.
Oh, you want a noon quickie?
Yeah, so it's just kind of like a logistical to get them there.
I wouldn't then. You know what I would do? Look, I would pick a coffee shop within 2 minutes' walk of the hotel.
I've done that before, and I think that's great advice. I think I'd just continue doing that.
I was just looking
for like to structure the challenge a little bit. Like, hey, you know, let's just meet here and forget about having sex. I don't know.
I wouldn't even bring up the word sex. Don't even bring it up.
Overthinking it, I guess.
You know what that is? What it is deep down in your mind, it's a destructive habit. It's a desire on some level to get her explicit verbal consent to having sex.
Yeah.
That's why you're bringing it up. True, on some level?
Yeah, I don't need her to verbalize that, but yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
But that's what you want. That's what you've been looking for, and it's very ineffective. And again, difference between a lecturer and a presenter and an interviewer and a teacher is a teacher can see that stuck pattern embedded in the question and make sure you don't go there. This is why, again, I say I'm the only fucking teacher out there.
If I were to say something to myself, say, if I were to stop doing X, how can I hammer this into my head that I need to stop doing this?
I would just make a symbolic representation of it.
Okay.
Imagine you're reaching out, crumpling it up, and throwing it into a fiery wastebasket,
and
staying off it.
The need for her to verbalize that.
Yeah. I don't know where that need comes from, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Although occasionally it does. You know, often if you do speed seduction with sufficient vigor and rigor with the right kind of woman, they'll say, I want you to fuck me.
Yeah.
Fuck me. You know, they will give you that consent. But I wouldn't look for it, and I wouldn't require it.
So just...
You need to take the responsibility of initiating without getting explicit verbal agreement. Be very careful. That's not to say you do it against anything, but you don't need verbal consent. If they're saying, fuck me, or they, like, jump your dick, that's consent. I'm looking for consent in behavior, not necessarily verbal agreement. Do you understand what I mean?
I do. That's good advice. Thank you.
Unless she's Swedish. The Swedes will say, fuck me, right, Jordan?
I'd rather them.
Yes, sir. Ross,
About the new course that you're going to release next week, can you say any words about the new features and what has been sort of updated or improved?
Well, okay. What I'm going to be doing is introducing a coaching program. It's going to have three different levels. We're not going to get too much into the details, but the three levels will be $69 a month, $197 a month, and $1,000 a month. Each one of them are going to have very generous features, and I can't say anything more about it, but I promise you this, I'm going to be giving away a lot of stuff for free. There's going to be some free video broadcasts, and the archives will be on my website, so you can watch free video seminars. I'm going to start giving away stuff that I used to turn into products. I'm going to be giving away a streaming video on the website. I'm going to give away so much free stuff that people are going to go, wait a minute, why should we buy from anyone else when Ross is giving stuff away for free? I want this person as my teacher. This person is giving me so much value for free to prove to me that his system is the best and he's the best teacher. I've gone out, I've tried it before, I've paid him a penny. I want this person as my teacher. That's the new model. I can't give you any more details now, but watch. Details will be coming. I hope to put everyone out of business because no one else can teach. No one even lets you talk to them, much less wants you to talk to them. I want to talk to you. I want this interaction. I love teaching. I want to hear that my work is challenging you, that you're having challenges and you're together, we're overcoming them together. I want that. This is going to challenge all the phonies, all the liars, all the fakes, all my ex-students to come out of hiding and either try to compete with me as teachers or to go back into hiding and to go away. And I don't think they can compete. So I want to thank you all for being on the call. The website, of course, is speedseduction.biz. There will be a replay available for this call. If you're listening to the replay, rather than the actual live event on March 17th. Thanks for clicking on that link. Also, I will be making the replay link available. And if you have student friends who are skeptical about speed seduction, send them the link so they can listen to this in the privacy of their own home and be convinced that I really am the teacher you want to study with. I want to thank you guys, and stay tuned. We're going to be announcing details of the coaching program fairly shortly. Thanks for being my students. I love teaching. It's an honor to teach such a wonderful group of guys. Thanks.